Certainly good to see all of you here this morning. I know we have many that are traveling, and we certainly want to continue to pray for traveling grace for them. Received a text at 1 o'clock this morning from Jasmine. She said they were still on the road trying to get to Colorado Springs, that the roads were really bad, but they were going about 30 miles an hour, and that was good because you didn't want to go any faster than that for fear of spinning out. So she finally made it about 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm thinking she's probably catching some Z's right now. But again, we want to be praying for all those that are traveling this morning. It is good to be here. I know that at this time of year, most folks are thinking about tomorrow. And in thinking about tomorrow, if you are younger, you have some hopes for what's underneath the tree. You have some expectations for what you're going to get. When we were younger, we were so poor that we just hoped we had a tree. And so there's a difference between the hope that people have today and the hope that we had when we were younger. But this morning's lesson isn't really a Christmas message, but it is a message about hope. It is the hope that we all share collectively because of the gift of God. And the gift of God was sending his son into this world. His son came willingly. And not only did he come willingly, he came and did the Father's will. He was completely obedient to the Father in a sacrificial way that we truly cannot totally appreciate. We're going to talk about some things that are inherent in that hope that we as Christians share together this morning, that as we as believers have that hope because God in his wisdom also allowed for us to be reconciled to him, that one of the gifts that he gives us is the gift of adoption. We are adopted children into the family of God. And what a blessing that is. Sometimes when I was younger and I would see other kids and they would have all kinds of good gifts and things that I couldn't even really dream of, I was like, I wish I was part of their family. Man, they got great things. I got a rock. That's from Charlie Brown. Those of you that are older remember that. I love Charlie Brown Christmas. And of course, when Linus reads about the birth of Christ, what amazing thing. I don't know that that could be made today. They still play it, and I'm always happy when they get to that part. We are here this morning, as we are every Sunday morning, not just because of the birth of Christ, but because of the life of Christ, because of his willingness to sacrifice. And what we are focused on, although the world is focused on the beginning of the end, we are focused on the end of the end. We are focused on what happens when we leave this world. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a hope that says that this isn't all there is. There are things that are going on in each and every one of our lives that sometimes drains us physically, that drains us emotionally, that drains us because we are so concerned about the things that are around us, the people that we love, the people that we work with, the people that come in and out of our lives, and it drains us. And so we are looking forward to something that is so much better than what we have here today. And that's the hope that we have because we are part of the family of God. We have a hope this morning. I've told the story about a man by the name of Bryce Lilly who was part of the Bataan Death March. And when he went into the camp, he was 6'1" and he weighed 180 pounds. When he came out of the camp, he was 5'9" and he weighed 112 pounds. But what he said is, I never gave up hope. He says, I could look into somebody's eyes and I knew that they would be dead tomorrow because they had given up hope. They had given up hope, and you could tell when someone had given up hope, they were going to die. If you give up hope, you have no hope in the future. We have an everlasting and eternal hope. We've been talking about Peter's letter to the church in the first century, and we're just going to go a little bit into that this morning and recap of some of the things that we've talked about. Peter's theme is about hope because It is a hope that was given to all that accepted a right relationship with God. It includes the hope of the possibility of being adopted as sons and daughters of God. It included the hope of redemption and reconciliation. It included the hope of forgiveness of sins. It included the hope of eternal life. It included the hope of peace in times of trial. We have this divine hope because Jesus chose to please his Father and not himself. We remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed three times, "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done." We can picture Jesus praying because the Bible is descriptive there about Jesus praying in earnest, so much so that he began to sweat and the sweat fell from his head as if it was drops of blood. Jesus was in distress because he knew what was in front of him, but yet he prayed anyway, "Not my will, thy will be done." We are here and we have that hope because Jesus was willing to do the will of his Father. Peter talks about that, but also Paul talks about that. If you've been here on Sunday nights and you've had an opportunity to listen to Brian's lessons about how James and Paul and Peter and John, all of them talk about the very same thing. They use different words, but they're saying the same thing. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. We have a hope that transcends the world that we live in today. We have a hope because Jesus was willing to do the will of his Father. We have a hope because we are sons and daughters of the God Most High. We have a hope this morning that transcends the trials and tribulations that we go through. We have a hope this morning that when this life ends, all will be made better. And if you don't share in that hope this morning, if my words are ringing hollow to you, it's because you don't have a right relationship with God. It's because either you've rejected that, you've turned your back on it, or maybe you've never understood it in the first place. But I hope this morning that before you leave here, that you will embrace the hope that Jesus is offering to you. We have a hope this morning. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, again, they go together with what Peter says. He writes this in Ephesus, the first chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. "In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us." I like that word, lavished. I don't know that we ever got lavished as a little kid. I don't think we were well off enough that people lavished anything on us. Although I remember that we were poor and we were living up in Fort Worth, and the preacher was G.E. Stewart. He was called the little blind preacher. He was blind from birth, and yet he could quote scripture backwards and forwards. He was an amazing man, but we were ragtag when we went to services. And I remember his wife pulled up in front of our house one day, and she just had all these clothes, and she just gave them to us. She lavished them on us. I had a white suit for the very first time. And I remember we were not supposed to go to the park, but the park was the quickest way to get to the building. It was on Allen Avenue. It was the Allen Avenue Church of Christ, and it was just across the park. It took 25 minutes to walk around, but only 10 if you went through it. But the park was bad, and we were never supposed to go to the park. And I went through the park, and there was this big hill. And I had this white suit on, and down the hill I went, and my white suit was now green because it was stained with grass. She had lavished that suit on me, and it did not last one day. My mother was not happy because back then there wasn't any way to get grass stains out. I will tell you this morning, there's no way to get sin out without a relationship with God. Your life, if it's stained with sin, the only way you're going to get that sin out is the hope of a right relationship with God. He lavishes those kinds of gifts on us. It's important to appreciate what he has done for us. In all his wisdom and insight, he's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention. That's what Mrs. Stewart had for us, kind intentions. God has kind intentions for each and every one of you today. You don't have to take advantage of it. He's not going to force you. but he has kind intentions for you this morning. He purposed them within himself with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of time. That is the summing up of all things in Jesus Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. What a blessing. What a blessing. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after his counsel and his will, to the end that we were the first hope in Christ, would be the praise of his glory. We've talked about that word glory over and over again. Sometimes we throw that out, but glory means to make known. We make known Jesus Christ in the way that we live, a world that does not understand. We make him known. God made him known to us. He manifested himself in the flesh, and now we get to make him known to a world that is in need of hope. Predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after his counsel and will, we were the first of his hope, the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given a pledge of our inheritance with a view of redemption of God's own possession to praise his glory. That's our purpose in coming today, to make known his glory, to make known his will, to make known his goodness, to make known his hope. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, was echoed by so many others. And as we've been talking about Peter's letter to the church, he also has this message of hope. And what we've talked about is that during that time, the church was being severely persecuted. They were under the gun of the Roman Empire. And to name the name of Christ for many of them meant certain death. They were burned at the stake. They were pulled asunder, tied to horses, and then pulled apart. They had their heads cut off. They were crucified. They struggled. And Peter sent them a message of hope. This morning, our scripture is taken from 1 Peter, verse 17. If you have your Bibles, you want to be turning over there. 1 Peter, we'll begin with verse 17. I said one of the great things was about being adopted as sons and daughters of God. What an amazing thing that is. What an amazing thing that is. And Peter says this to those that have accepted that adoption. Since you call on the Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your times as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before creation of the world, but were revealed in these last times for your sake, for our sake. You've heard me say it many times. This scripture was written to the first century church, but it's preserved for us. It has application for us this morning. It was written for us to be able to apply to our lives as well. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for our sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorify him, so you may have faith and hope in God. This morning's lesson is the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, is so that we might have hope and faith this morning. A faith that transcends things that the world understands. We've talked about how we have faith in bank tellers. We'll walk up and give people money that we don't even know, and we have faith that it's going to go into our account. We get on planes. We don't even look in the cockpit to see who's flying the plane, but we have faith that they're going to fly it correctly and get us to where we need to be. We have faith in all kinds of people, but we're not talking about that kind of faith this morning. We're talking about the faith in the one who created the universe. We're talking about the one who has the power to preserve us unto eternity, to live with him forever. And because of that kind of faith, he was faithful to his word in sending the very best of heaven into the world. Born as a baby, born as we are born, born of flesh and blood, suffered in a way that is indescribable, and yet still did all that a father asked of him. He was faithful in all things. And because of that faithfulness, he has made promises to us that we can have hope in, and that hope gives us joy that is indescribable. We look forward not to the beginning of the end, but to the end of the end, that we will be with him forever. He talks about the fact that these believers were going through trials and tribulations, things again that we read about, but we really can't put our arms around. The kinds of things that were going on in the first century, we can only imagine. We think that we live in difficult times today because it's not the way, when I was growing up, the world treated Christians. But it's nothing like they experienced in the first, second, and third century. That time may come again, and it may come to America quicker than we would like. But it doesn't take away our hope. We are believers with hope, and that's what Peter wanted his writers to understand. Peter says, there is a price to this hope. There is a price to this hope. It is the immortal for the mortal. The immortal being Jesus Christ came to this earth. And for the mortal, for us, he was willing to go to Calvary's cross. God sent the very best into this world. The immortal Jesus Christ became flesh and blood. He lived the life as we lived. He suffered as we suffered. He felt pain as we felt pain. There is no doubt that when the nails were nailed into his hand, he felt that pain. When the spear was pierced, he felt pain. And yet, he did it anyway. Why? Because of his love for the Father and his Father's creation. He was sinless, and yet he sacrificed his life for those of us that were sinful. It is reminiscent of him being crucified between two thieves, men who were guilty, men who had done the things that they were accused of, men who had done terrible things, and he is in the midst of them. He is sinless, but they were sinful, and Jesus is in the midst of them, and one of them riled at Jesus and accused Jesus while the other was humble and said to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, being in agony, still had compassion and was able to look at that man and say, today you will be in paradise with me. That is who gives us hope this morning. That even though we are sinful men, even though we have done terrible things in our lives, the sinless for the sinful, the imperishable for the perishable. Jesus gave up immortality that he might come to this earth and have a body as we have a body. He gave up that which was imperishable so that he would understand how we live. The price of hope. The price of hope is more precious than silver and gold. I, like you, watch the commercials and about Christmas time and what's the perfect gift. And I'm not sure which person it is, and so I don't want to name the jewelry store, but they always say, no matter what she asks for, she really wants diamonds. I'm thinking, well, if I had diamond money, that might be okay, but I don't have diamond money. I'll get a cubic zirconium. Jesus more precious than silver or gold, that both are corruptible, both will be destroyed. Jesus will live forever. And because of his sacrifice, we have the hope of living forever. The price of immortality was the price of the precious Lamb of God, the best of heaven. The price never changes. We live in a world of inflation and deflation. Sometimes prices go up. Rarely do they go down, but occasionally they do. But here's the reality of Jesus' sacrifice. It is the widow with two mites. She gave all that she had. Jesus gave all that he had. It doesn't matter what kind of price you put on that, it is everything that he had. And so there is an expectation for us, if we are going to have a right relationship with him, that we too give all that we have. That we give our very lives, our minds, our thoughts, our behavior, our conduct over to him. If we want to have a right relationship with him, it is about giving our all to him because he gave his all to us. The price of redemption never changes. It never changes. It stays the same. It is all that you have. All that you have belongs to him. He gave his blood. He gave his life. The writer of Psalm says it this way. Praise the Lord, God brought you with a price. No man can deem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. That is to say, no human man can do that. Only the divine Son of God is able to pay that ransom, the blood of Jesus Christ. John tells us that this blood is so precious that if we have fellowship with him, that blood, that gift continually gives. John 1 and verse 7, 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. That is, if we have fellowship with him, if we have a right relationship with him, if our goal is to be pleasing to him, if we have fellowship with one another. I know that there are many in the world today that say it's just me and God. But John says, no, it's not just you and God. It's about having fellowship one with another and fellowship with God. It goes both ways. It goes vertically and it goes horizontally. If we have faith and fellowship with one another, we have faith and fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus, that gift that gives us hope, continues to wash us and cleanse us that we might have hope in the resurrection. So what is our response to God's gift? What is our response? Peter says that we should live in reverent fear. Live in reverent fear. We hear the word fear, it causes some to tremble, but that's not all that that's about. It is about revering God so much that we want to do all that pleases him, that we know that our Father is impartial and that he will treat us as sons and daughters, all of us the same. A right response to the goodness and the power of God requires us to give ourselves totally over to him. The question for us is, do we call him Father this morning? Do you call him Father this morning? Is he your Father? If he's your Father, then you don't have to despair about what's going on in the world today. If he is your Father, your faith will give you a hope because you've been brought with a holy and immaculate, precious blood of Jesus Christ. His death gives you life. If you call him Father this morning, then it should be reflected in your conduct. If you call him Father this morning, you should have reverence for him. If you call him Father this morning, you need to acknowledge the gift that he has given you. If you call him Father this morning, you should be like Jesus. And you should be able to say what Jesus said in John, I always do the things that please my Father. I always do the will of my Father. We have a hope this morning. But the reason that we have that hope this morning is because Jesus was willing to go to Calvary's cross, because he was willing to shed his blood, because he was willing to subject himself to the cruelty of the Romans for our sake, not because he had sinned, but because we have sinned. But all that's wiped out as long as we have fellowship with him and we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have hope this morning. The world celebrates the beginning, the birth of Jesus Christ, and that's a good thing. But we so much look forward to the end of the end, the time when we will be with him for all eternity. Pray this has been beneficial to you this morning. If you have a need that you need to make known to the church, we invite you to come. The lesson is yours to respond to if you have need as we stand and sing the invitation song.